Everyone, before I get into my homily on the Beatitudes, I need to devote a word to Catholic Schools Week. And the first word needs to be thanks. Thanks to all of you who give your time, talent, and treasure to our dear Catholic schools, especially Light of Christ here in Bismarck. For all those of you who give money right here at church, at the cathedral, put money in the collection, part of that goes to our Catholic schools. Those of you who send our kids, those of you who teach, who volunteer, who raise money, who give to the campaign or intend to give to the campaign, all of you who volunteer, thank you. It takes a ton of generosity to keep this wonderful thing alive that we call Catholic schools, and we are indebted to you for that. We have basically a simple twofold mission: academic excellence, educational excellence, and I think our record shows we do pretty well there. Not perfect, but we do pretty well there. And then the second, to make friends of Christ. That's why we exist. To form our children to be good citizens of society and great friends of Christ. Children of God, competent and good, intelligent and holy, enjoying life on earth with their eyes of getting to heaven, scholars and saints. That's what we're about. Successful and faithful. And so thank you for being a part of this wonderful mission. Also, I hope, dear Catholic people, whether you send your children to Catholic schools or not, I hope you're aware of how we're all blessed by them. We have 28 seminarians, and you've heard how many over and over again. We kind of beat this maybe too much. But 23, according to my numbers, 23 out of 28 are products of our Catholic schools. Listen to this. I got distracted in prayer this morning, and this is what I did. Father Paul Becker, Corpus Christi, St. Mary's grad. Father Wayne Sattler, St. Anne's, Dickinson Trinity grad. Monsignor Gene Lindemann, St. Mary's Parish, Dickinson Trinity grad. Monsignor Broughton, Ascension, Bishop Ryan grad. A St. Mary's grad. Corey Nelson, St. Anne's, Bishop Ryan grad. The priest who substitute for us here, Father Josh Waltz, St. Mary's grad. Father Josh Eli, St. Mary's grad. Father Marv Klemmer, St. Mary's grad. Father Benedict Fisher, St. Mary's grad. Across the river, Father Schneider, St. Mary's grad. Father Shane Campbell, St. Mary's grad. Monsignor Guion grew up in a town that didn't have a Catholic school. Go up to Minot, Father Justin Waltz, St. Mary's grad. Father Jaden Nelson, Dickinson Trinity grad. Father Doug Krebs, St. Mary's grad. Father David Richter, St. Mary's grad. For you old timers, Bruce Krebs, New England, St. Mary's grad. They still exist. Six priests in Minot, five Catholic school grads. Every pastor in Bismarck, Catholic school grad. Father John Guthrie, Catholic school grad. Father Tom Grafskart, St. Mary's grad. Craig Holkalter, Dickinson Trinity grad. Father Bill Ruel, Bishop Ryan grad. Father Russ Kovash, Dickinson Trinity grad. I can see I'm getting annoying, so I'll stop there. Dear people, you take away our Catholic schools, and imagine how many foreign priests we would need to run our parishes. We all benefit. And so I hope to God you can have gratitude in your heart for Catholic schools, where you send your kids or not. They bring us Jesus beyond those walls of the school. Now onto this beautiful gospel of the Beatitudes. Pope Benedict XVI says the Beatitudes, listen to this, the Beatitudes are the interior biography of Jesus. Jesus revealing to us what he's like inside, his lived experience of God. St. John Paul II says the Beatitudes reveal to us the face of Christ. I want you to think of it in these terms. The Beatitudes are Jesus' secret of how to become happy. If you're asking the question, what does the happy life look like? How do I find joy? The Beatitudes are Jesus' answer. This is the happy life. This is how the human heart is fulfilled and finds joy. The 8 Beatitudes. St. Thomas Aquinas calls them the Magna Carta of the Christian life. In fact, the first word in each beatitude that we translate into the English, blessed, 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 is the Greek word makarios. Makarios. I was going to spell it to you in Greek, but that would be showing off. It's translated blessed, but my favorite scripture scholar said it would be more appropriate. It grabs it better. To translate it, Jesus is exclaiming praise. How lucky you are if you're poor in spirit. If you're meek, how fortunate you are. Boy, are you lucky. Throughout the years in my sermons, I have shared to you the cruel, unusual punishment that came to me in my childhood living on a dairy farm and having to milk cows. I recall back in elementary or junior high school, eavesdropping on a conversation between mom and dad, and I don't know if they were neighbors or relatives or friends or whoever, but I was sitting there because their son, who was about my age, was sitting there as well, and we were just listening to the adults talk. And at one point, they said to mom and dad, yeah, we sold all our cows. We're done milking. Inside of me was screaming, boy, are you lucky. I looked at my, but how blessed you are. That's the spirit behind the Beatitudes. If you're persecuted for doing what's good and right, how blessed you are. You're on the road to joy. Notice he doesn't say once, blessed are you if you get your way. And so that's what's behind these beautiful, beautiful Beatitudes. Second, these beautiful Beatitudes express the truth, the beautiful truth of the inseparable connection between the cross and the resurrection. The inseparable connection of joy coming from some sort of place that's beyond me. The first half expresses this cross, the second, an aspect of the resurrection. Blessed are those who mourn. You shall be comforted. Blessed are you, hunger and thirst. The kingdom of heaven is yours. The inseparable connection between the cross and the happy life. That's why a world who runs from the cross, and it's about me and my way, doesn't know joy, doesn't know happiness. You guys got me, I'm losing my voice. We see this expressed throughout the Gospels, everyone, in many different ways and in all the lives of the saints, this inseparable connection. St. Francis says it this way, it's in giving that we receive. It's in pardoning that we receive the pardon of God. It's in dying that we're born into eternal life. St. John says it this way, unless the grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it just remains a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it bears great fruit. Mary in her Magnificat says it this way, the Lord has cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich sent them away empty. One of the fundamental needs to become a happy person is stop being scared of the cross. You can't get the joy without it. Why? Because that's where the love of God is poured into us. The cross is not a place where I'm alone. Third, the order of these Beatitudes is not arbitrary. Just like the order of the Ten Commandments isn't arbitrary. If you put the seventh commandment first, you mess up the commandments. The first commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And only to the degree you do that will the other ones work. And the same goes with the eight Beatitudes. The first Beatitude is the foundation of all the rest. The first Beatitude, dear people, is how we enter in to God, the heart of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven, the heart of God, is yours. As you know, spirit comes from the Hebrew word ruhah. Ruha. You have to have phlegm in order to make the right sound. It means breath. Breath. The Holy Spirit is holy breath. And so my favorite scripture scholar says the more dramatic, graphic translation of the first beatitude is this: how fortunate are those who beg for their life's very breath, who are poor in breath, who know they need God for every breath. The closer one comes to God, the more we become aware of our utter need for Him. Atheists can imagine a universe without God. A saint can't imagine their next breath without Him. It is this utter felt need for God that pulls me into the heart of God. There was a young man who came to see a wise old monk and told the wise old monk that he wants to experience God and be closer to God, and he's seeking God and nothing seems to be happening. So the wise old monk says, "I think I can help you. Come with me." They walked down to the local creek, walked into the water, told the young man to take a look at the birds flying over to distract him. And when he looked up, the old monk grabbed, put his hands on his head, and shoved the young man underwater and held him there 30 seconds, 45 seconds, a minute. At a minute 15, the young man started to scratch and claw the monk's arms. A minute and a half, and he started to kick and flail. A minute 45, and the monk leaves him up, and he comes out of the water gasping for air. And when he catches his breath, the monk says, "The day you understand you need God as much as you understood you needed air, you'll find him." The first beatitude, the way God draws us into him, is making us feel our need. And where we need him, like we need the next breath, we don't like that place. It's the place, if a person doesn't have faith, grabs a bottle. Does other silly things. But if they can bring that need to God, if they're poor in spirit, the heart of God will come to them. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. May God make us feel how deeply we need him. We come to Mass because we need God like we need our next breath. May God grant us the faith to live these beautiful Beatitudes.